This is Free Talk Live, and you can take control of the airwaves here toll-free on this live Saturday edition. With you in the studio tonight, you've got Ian.
And Daryl.
We do have Skype. You can Skype into the show. Skype username is lrn.fm. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Last night on our Friday edition of the show, Daryl, you and I talked about Esteban Santiago, the shooter, apparently, down in the Fort Lauderdale airport. Obviously, that was pretty fresh off the presses when we started our show last night.
Yes, there were still updates coming, you know, basically while we were doing the show.
And so what we learned last night, and I don't know, you know, if the details have changed much as far as the, you know, the body count or whatever, but last night
I saw something on the news while I was at the gym just a couple of hours ago that 5 dead, 6 people are currently hospitalized.
Damn.
Last night it was reported that 8 were hospitalized. Again, a couple hours ago was reported 6, with one of those people expected to be released from the hospital.
So this guy blasted away at a baggage carousel area where he had gotten off, apparently, a plane coming from Alaska.
Yes.
He allegedly had a gun in his checked baggage, retrieved the gun, loaded it in the bathroom, and then just started shooting at people.
Right. And again, one can check a firearm. There are certain ways that you have to do that. It has to be in a hard-sided case, and you have to inform them, I'm checking a firearm. So you can't just, like, put a gun inside your luggage.
Right.
You know, there are procedures. You tell them this is a firearm. There's a form you fill out. He did that. And according to one of the airport spokesmen, he got the bag, went into the bathroom, loaded the firearm in the bathroom, walked out of the bathroom and started shooting. Reloaded at least one time, according to witnesses.
And then supposedly sat down and waited for the police?
Yes.
It's just a crazy story, but then again, he's a crazy man. And we also learned that he's former military. Further, what we've learned today here about this guy,
We also last night learned that he had a general discharge for unsatisfactory performance.
So if you want to comment just in general on this, obviously there's going to be the standard call for more gun control, which, of course, as we pointed out, here on Free Talk Live, we're in favor of your right to defend yourself. You should be able to defend yourself in whatever way that you deem appropriate, so long as you don't, you know, harm someone. Like dropping a nuclear bomb is obviously not defending yourself, right? So, like within reason of defending yourself against whatever the oncoming attack is. So you should be able to defend yourself, whether it's with a gun or whether you've, you know, karate trained or whatever your method is. And that should include being able to, as an airline, set your own policy. Let the airlines decide what it is that they require or don't require as far as security is concerned. This one-size-fits-all policy that is being handed down, shoved down our throats by the federal government and has been for a long time.
Well, and there are people that will point out that it was back in the 70s when the airlines basically said, we don't want to be responsible for our own security. Let's contract this out. And then ultimately it wound up being the federal government taking over the security checkpoints.
You mean, when you say let's contract this out, you mean the airport was
the airlines
who did it originally?
The airlines asked the airports to take it over because the airlines didn't want to be responsible for it because you know they've got so much other stuff that they've got to figure out. So, you know, they had the airports do it, and then the federal government took over the airport security
and made it worse, of course.
Yes.
And you know, if it was at least up to the individual airport, that would still be better than what we have today, because then at least there could be some differences between airports. But ultimately it should be the airlines, I think, who are responsible for their own security. And that way we could try different options. Like maybe one airline would want to allow people on with guns, or at least licensed gun carriers, to legally allow them to carry on board the plane. Or maybe, you know, whatever. Maybe they would have some sort of program set up where they could approve you in advance and have you jump through whatever hoops that they want you to jump through.
Right, and the feds even have these programs. There's CLEAR and a couple other things where you pay like $85 a year and you have a background check. And then when you go through the security checkpoint, you've got a lot less strenuous of a security check. You don't have to remove your shoes. You don't have to remove laptops from your luggage.
Right.
And, it's an easier thing. And if you travel a lot, it seems worth it to pay the $85 to jump through a hoop one time.
Indeed.
To where it's easier to go through security and you're not getting molested all the time.
So there's more about Mr. Santiago, the accused shooter here in Fort Lauderdale. According to Local10.com, relatives in New York and Puerto Rico talked about Santiago's change after he served in Iraq from 2010 to 2011. And of course, we've seen plenty of people suffering from PTSD from their time in the military, lots of military suicides, obviously. And now this guy killing people. His mother said in tears that he witnessed how a roadside bomb in Taji killed two fellow engineer company soldiers. Santiago's brother said, quote, "The federal government already knew about this for months. They had been evaluating him for a while, but they didn't do anything." According to the story, he is filing charges against him, including performing an act of violence against a person at an airport serving international civil aviation that caused serious bodily injury. That's a long charge. Using and carrying a firearm during and in relation to a crime of violence and causing the death of a person through the use of a firearm. I suspect he's going to be facing multiple counts on that last particular charge.
Yes, probably one for each person, and they might wind up even doing state and federal charges on some of these.
Sure. And then the story turns to the bizarre here, where Local 10 has another piece that they published earlier today or late yesterday, where his maternal aunt, Maria Ruiz, who lives in Union City, told reporters in New Jersey that he wasn't the same when he came back from Iraq. She said in Spanish, quote, "He lost his mind," unquote. And she referred to a psychiatric hospitalization that occurred after he allegedly suffered from hallucinations. Federal government officials investigated Santiago last year. He had told the FBI agents that he'd heard voices in his head that told him to watch Islamic State materials, but he said he was in control and had no intention of hurting anyone, according to the New York Times.
Now, the quote that you have there is missing out a vital piece of information.
Okay.
He claims that it was the U.S. military that was controlling his mind and telling him to watch those videos.
Whoa, that's pretty crazy. Now, we've had people call this show here, and I remember we had one lady who actually was calling to tell us that she was hearing voices and that she believed people were trying to, like, sneak into her house at various different hours of the night. And so, of course, you always have to wonder about these folks. You know, are they just insane? Or is it possible that the federal government is really using some sort of crazy mind control ray?
Well, the question is whether these were internal or external voices.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference there is with an internal voice, you know, like there's not somebody speaking to you, like that's just my thought.
Well, whereas you would know, but you're sane, so...
No. Even people that, they know whether the voice is coming from inside.
They can tell the crazy people.
Outside.
Crazy people can tell the difference?
Yes.
Okay.
So the outside voice is you think that there is someone not inside your head talking to you, but like someone sitting next to you talking to you. So there's the difference between internal and external voices.
I definitely want to hear more of your thoughts on this. Toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. So yet another person here who was on the radar of the federal government. You know, they've been given heads up about killers or potential killers before and ultimately never really did much about it. Of course, there's not much you can do in advance of someone committing a crime. But it is interesting that not only is he former military, so he was trained by the government to kill, but also apparently he believes, taking orders from the military afterwards via the voices in his head. The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. Join us on Free Talk Live. It is Free Talk Live, the live Saturday edition of the program. Of course, you can join us here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. We're talking about the psychopath who executed people in a Fort Lauderdale airport yesterday. His name is Esteban Santiago, former military, and apparently he'd heard voices in his head, according to the New York Times article here. According to the Times, the voices were coming from a U.S. intelligence agency.
And this, I've got an update from Reuters where they've pretty much rewritten the article that they had posted last night. They give the name of the FBI agent that Esteban Santiago spoke with in Anchorage in November. Marlon Ritzman, a special agent in charge of the FBI's office in Anchorage, told a news conference on Saturday that Santiago walked into his office in November and told agents that his mind was being controlled by a U.S. intelligence agency. He was turned over to local police, who took him to a medical facility for a mental evaluation. Anchorage Police Chief Chris Tolley told the news conference Santiago was having terroristic thoughts and believed he was being influenced by the Islamic State. His handgun was taken from him. However, it was returned to him after he was found to not be mentally ill.
How do you find someone not mentally ill after they tell you that they're hearing voices from the U.S. government? I mean, wherever it is the voices are coming from, if someone comes to you and says to you, Daryl, I've been hearing voices in my head, that's usually enough to just go right ahead and diagnose that person as mentally ill, as far as I'm concerned.
Probably.
I mean, there's one thing about, you know, having sort of an internal conversation with yourself, right? And then there's another thing where there are voices who are not your own speaking to you.
Correct.
In your head, or from the outside of your head or whatever. So that's disturbing, number one. Also, you can share your thoughts here with us. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. We're going to get to your calls and thoughts coming up here. More on what happened with the FBI. You know, what was it that that he believed? And this is a story that's going to get to make the conspiracy theorists go in. They're going to go nuts over this. I mean, they're going into high gear over this because it surely will be seen as evidence of the various different theories that we've heard over the years. The federal government agencies,
MK Ultra, and
can control
all of
people's
the other
minds.
Things. Right. So you've got somebody saying that the U.S. government was controlling his mind.
Right.
Trying to get him to watch videos from the Islamic State. This guy later shoots a bunch of people, and the police never fire their weapon at him.
Yeah, what happened with that?
We don't even know if the police were on the scene until after he unloaded his weapon, which I find very difficult to believe because there are a lot of police inside airports.
Yeah, that's one of the questions that you know, that you had asked the other night after we got off the air, and I thought it was really a good question. Is like, you're in an airport. There are cops pretty much all over the place. I mean, if there's not one immediately at the baggage claim area, certainly there would have been one nearby enough to hear the gunfire.
In Birmingham, and that's the airport that I worked at the longest, the police station for the airport is near the baggage claim.
Right. Well, regardless, I mean, there's cops in the airport. I mean,
yes.
Each airport tends to have its own little subunit of the police department.
Correct.
So here in New Hampshire, the Manchester airport's actually in Londonderry. They just call it the Manchester airport, and the Londonderry police have an office and officers in that building at all times. It's a great question. Where were the police? What took them so long to get here? That's another one that's going to drive the conspiracy theorists nuts.
Yeah.
But, you know, we talked about how he waited for the police to arrive. According to one witness, Mark Lea, he said the gunman, quote, just randomly shot people, no rhyme or reason. And then after the shootings, that he then lay face down, spread eagle, and waited for the deputies to come get him. So what we'd heard yesterday was that he sat down. Now, apparently, he just went ahead and laid right on down, spread eagle, preparing himself for the inevitable arrest.
And according to the Broward County Sheriff's Office, they have police
in the airport.
In the airport.
Of course they do.
BSO Fort Lauderdale Hollywood International Airport District Office.
By the way, most of our wardrobe here at Free Talk Live is liberty-oriented t-shirts. They're comfortable, easy to manage, and we can spread the ideas of liberty by doing something we were going to do anyway, which is wear a shirt. Now, our newest shirts, both Daryl and I have each of these, say, I'm already against the next war. That's one of them. And the other one is Power Corrupts. I really like that one because it keeps it simple. RyeGuys.com, they're so deeply committed to the ideas of liberty, they're donating a portion of their proceeds to antiwar.com and the Future of Freedom Foundation. You can help spread the ideas of freedom by wearing cool, high-quality t-shirts from RyeGuys.com. You can take 15% off at checkout by using coupon code FTL. That's coupon code FTL, like Free Talk Live, at RyeGuys, W-R-Y, RyeGuys.com. Let's go to the calls, your calls and thoughts here. By the way, our toll-free number, 855-450-FREE, if you want to join us here. Jeff is in Chicago listening to WRMN. Hey, Jeff.
Nothing in politics happens by accident. If it happens, you can bet it was planned that way. I think it was FDR that said that. This has Manchurian Candidate written all over it. There's the people that do this stuff or not. When someone says government, they're not talking about the post office or your normal parts of government. It's even, you guys know, it's suspect whether some of these agencies are part of government, but they probably receive funding, like maybe the CIA or whoever. There is a lot of technology nowadays, and I've, you know, on late night radio they talk about it. I mean, we know there's a lot of technology. They're coming up with stuff all the time where they can. People are saying that they're able to influence someone, and no doubt this guy was in some way conditioned, and this whole thing was set up, and that's why it's so odd where he just, like it was in a movie, he does the shooting and he sets the gun down, and you notice they kept changing the story too.
The story tends to change in the initial hours after something happened. The news media reports what they have and then they update it over time. I wouldn't say that because the story has changed that that necessarily means that something's up.
Well, okay, but I mean, I'm just saying, like, whenever, like, the Oklahoma City thing happened or the Trade Center, different events like that, they had one story initially, like, in Oklahoma, I think they said there was a Middle Eastern guy there also, and then they said there was a couple of explosions and different things, but then they kept changing the news as they, you know, so probably the first thing you hear is the truth, and then as time comes, they keep changing it to, you know, to suit their purposes.
Well, I mean, that's speculation, but ultimately...
Right, and also, you know, you've got something that's happening in such, you know, a stressful situation. You ask 15 eyewitnesses,
they're going to
give you 15 different accounts of what happened. It doesn't mean that one of them is lying. It just means that they all observed it slightly differently, and the media tries to cobble those 15 different reports together to figure out what actually happened.
Jeff, thanks for your call tonight. I appreciate
it. Police do the same thing.
The toll-free number here tonight is 855-450-FREE. If you want to join us here, your thoughts on the airport shooting. Do you believe the claims that the government can control someone's mind? I'm a pretty big skeptic on that one, but this guy certainly believed it, and he was crazy. And he's still alive, by the way. 855-450-FREE. We just got our new Rye Guys t-shirts. I chose the Power Corrupts shirt and the I'm Already Against the Next War shirt. These quality shirts look good and feel good, and they feature clever, thought-provoking designs to promote freedom, peace, and healthy skepticism of modern mythologies. The Rye Guys donate a portion of proceeds to antiwar.com and the Future of Freedom Foundation. Enter coupon code FTL at checkout to get 15% off your order. That's RyeGuys.com, W-R-Y-Guys.com, RyeGuys.com. It's a Rye Wit for today's shit. It's Free Talk Live, live Saturday edition of the program. Of course, you can take control of the airwaves here. You can bring up anything that you want, although we've been talking about this shooter, the airport shooter from Fort Lauderdale. That's where the scene went down yesterday as five people were shot to death and another six apparently have been wounded, hospitalized, and the shooter taken without incident after the shooting. He apparently laid down spread eagle and just waited, laying there on the ground until the police arrived and took him into custody. So he's crazy. Apparently he went into the FBI's, one of the FBI offices up in Anchorage, Alaska, and informed them that he was being spoken to in his head by some U.S. intelligence agency.
Well, somebody sent me something via email about voice-to-skull technology, mm-hmm. and the claim here is, and I've not read every word of the 8-page PDF, but what I'm getting here is there's basically a claim that you can use microwave transmission, and if you send the signal at the right frequency, people can wind up hearing your transmission without having some kind of receiver embedded into their body.
Without a receiver.
That seems to be the claim here.
And you told me off the air that this was technology circa the 1970s.
Yes.
Toll-free number tonight, 855-450-FREE. Now, look, I'm not going to deny that there could be some crazy technology that might allow for something like that. But I'd like to know more. You know, I would like to know more about that. I'd like to know how effective that is. At what distance can they, you know, shoot that information into your brain, that audio into your brain? Because certainly it's possible to allow someone to hear something through vibrating the bones in their head, right? Like you can transmit sound through the bones
right.
in your head. And there's like, I don't know if it's like an earpiece or whatever. There's some kind of technology that allows you to listen to transmissions without other people hearing. Like that's the idea behind the in-head transmission is
right.
that
and
no one else could hear that.
I actually recently saw a set of headphones that instead of, you know, covering your ears the traditional way or going inside your ear hole the traditional way with earbuds, this is just something that wraps around the back of your skull and you listen through your
through the bones
head.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, that's very interesting. Now, it's, of course, of a different technology than shooting a microwave from however, whatever distance, but maybe it's related. The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. If you want to join us, by the way, you can save big time on your purchases at Amazon. Here's how you do it. You go to saveatpurse.com. It's saveatpurse, saveatpurse.com. You do have to have cryptocurrency, though, like Bitcoin. In order to get the tremendous savings that I've been getting for more than 2 years, I've been buying everything I buy through Amazon. I always go to saveitpurse.com because I save 10, 15, 20, 25%. I get to choose the discount. It's not some random discount. I choose based on how urgently I need the product. If I'm willing to wait for a bit, I'll choose 20 or 25%. If I need it quickly, 10 to 15%. And it's, you know, somebody's going to buy that for me within a day. It's shipped to my door, just like Amazon. It is Amazon. It's just this is an intermediary that allows you to spend your Bitcoin or some of your other cryptocurrencies. So go check them out at saveitpurse.com. That's saveatpurse.com. Very disturbing story in Fort Lauderdale. It's getting more bizarre as we learn more about it, with this guy claiming that he was hearing voices in his head telling him to go and watch Islamic State videos.
Yeah, and let me read just a couple sentences. I believe this is from American Psychology from 1975.
About the voice to skull thing?
Yeah, about the voice to skull thing. The capabilities of communicating directly with a human being by receiverless radio has obvious potentiality both within and without the clinic, but the hotly debated and unresolved question of how much microwave radiation a human being can safely be exposed to
Good
will probably
question.
Forestall application within the near future.
So they were saying this is technically possible, but also likely dangerous.
Yes.
Let's go to your calls and thoughts here. Toll-free number, 855-450-FREE. Let's go to Douglas in Charleston, South Carolina, listening to WTMA. Hey, Douglas.
Hello, how are you tonight?
Welcome, sir. You're on the air.
Well, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
I am very curious about the correlation between pharmaceutical drugs and, can we call it, mind control? I know I'm a veteran. I've been through the VA. I know that the VA will hand out bags of drugs.
Yeah, that doesn't
Is
sound
Is there any information
good.
Out that tells us that that can help us pull all this together as a consistency between the pharmaceuticals and the shooters?
Now, I have seen, and I've not verified whether or not this is true, but there's a claim And again, I have not independently verified this, and a lot of it with HIPAA, I don't know how it could be independently verified, but there's a claim that either all of or like 90% of the people that have gone on mass shootings over the past 10, 15 years have been on some kind of
psychoactive
prescription
drugs. Yeah, I've heard that too.
But whether or not, this is just something where, there's correlation but no causation, it's something that I don't think anybody will ever wind up being able to verify.
Well,
yes, because of confidentiality.
Suicide is one of the side effects of some of these drugs, from what I understand. So, there's definitely a chance that these things will drive you insane. Now, what that will manifest in, whether it's you killing yourself or killing others, it doesn't seem to be very good.
Correct.
Yes, we've all heard the side effects on the pharmaceutical ads.
Right. Well, I don't think they mentioned suicide during the ad.
They do mention suicidal tendencies.
Really?
Suicidal thoughts or actions, yes.
Interesting. I don't watch TV, so I guess I just don't see the stuff.
Just to help you get a good night's sleep.
Yeah, right. Douglas, anything else you want to share?
No, that's all.
Thanks for the call, man.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate your thoughts here. And it's too early right now. Just a quick search. Doesn't reveal whether or not Esteban Santiago was on any drugs, but I'm sure we're going to see that headline within the next few days.
Well, my guess is, since he was ruled by the mental health professionals in Alaska to not be mentally ill, chances are they did not put him on any drugs.
Well, like I said, I bet we're going to find out sooner or later. He is still alive, and so it'll be interesting to see if any information comes out from whatever interviews the police might be having. It is interesting that over the years, only a few of these crazed killers have actually been taken alive, like the Colorado theater shooter, and now this guy.
And the kid in, I say kid, he was like 19 at the time, in South Carolina.
Oh, the church shooting?
The church.
Let's go to your calls here. You can share your thoughts. John is in Virginia. You're on Free Talk Live. John, where are you at in Virginia tonight?
Driving on 64.
Welcome, sir. You're on the air.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about the microwave technology in the head program that the Navy has.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Please do.
Yeah, so back in 2002, I was part of a special boat unit that were operating down in the Med, and they actually use that technology on our boat crew as testing. I don't know how wide implemented it is, but it's a real deal. It's a real deal technology. They started blasting this about 3 miles from the ship, and we could receive music and voice over this this communication. You couldn't hear it unless the beam was being shot at you, but it's used by the Navy as a deterrent.
Okay, to clarify something for me here, you were on a ship. There was some other ship that was beaming some sort of wave at your ship. Are you saying everyone on the ship could hear it, or that they were able to individually target people if you were out, like, on the deck?
No, it was a group-wide. It was a wide beam, and it would shoot the whole boat. And you could hear music and voice through this thing. And we actually had a few bad side effects on board.
I want to hear a little bit more about it, if you can stick with us, John. A very interesting claim. The toll-free number, 855-450-FREE. You can share your thoughts here on Free Talk Live's Live Saturday Show. It's Free Talk Live. Dial on in toll free. Join us here. The number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. The story about the shooter in the airport over in Fort Lauderdale has gone into the realm of the bizarre, with him claiming that he was hearing voices in his head. He didn't claim this after his arrest, but maybe he'll be telling the investigators about that. But he told that to an FBI agent up in Anchorage, Alaska, some amount of time ago until
November.
Yeah, so not that long ago, until he was ultimately cleared and somebody decided he was sane and they let him go.
I don't think they necessarily decided he was sane. They found that he was not mentally ill.
Gotcha.
Which are, you know, two slightly different things.
So we're going to continue with your calls and thoughts. Also want to invite you to freetalklive.com, where you can get interactive. You can actually create the content there. On the front page of the website, other listeners have submitted, let's say, news stories or YouTube videos, fun stuff, outrageous news, whatever it is you think our listeners will appreciate. You can submit it there, and then other listeners can vote it up or down, whether they like it or dislike it. Of course, there's a bunch of other free features on our website that most of the other talk show hosts in the talk radio business will charge you for on their sites, like our webcam and other ways for you to interact with the show. So go to freetalklive.com and enjoy, because it's all for free. Let's go back to John. He's in Virginia. John, you claim that you served in the Navy. And how long ago was it when you say that the entire boat that you were on was I guess, a guinea pig, a test subject for this voice-to-skull or some variant of this technology where they shot some kind of ray at the boat, and then ultimately the people on the boat were able to hear something in their heads? Is that what happened? You said you could hear music or voice?
Yeah, both. They started off tuning in their system when we were about 3 miles out from a U.S. major Navy ship, and we were on a special boat unit. And this was in 2002.
Not long ago, okay.
And, it went on. We were being tested on. It was probably about a three-hour process, workup for it, and it was interesting. We had one guy who had a negative side effect. He started bleeding out of his ears.
Oh God!
Yeah, not a lot, but just a little bit of blood. But I could see it being used as a
weapon of war.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was used. What we were told, they were testing it as a deterrent device to keep ships from coming close and to be able to tell them at distances to stay away.
And now, well, what you're talking about here is different from, say, the LRAD that just sends that horrible pulsing noise that can also rupture eardrums.
Which we've seen the police using at protests and things like that to disperse
crowds. Yeah, no, it's completely different. You can hear audible sound.
So would you say that it was pleasant? I mean, when you were listening to the music, that it was just, hey, this is enjoyable? Obviously, you couldn't turn the volume up or down.
Not at all. We all suffered slight migraine headaches afterward. It wasn't a pleasant experience. It was like a ringing in the deep ear.
And now the music or the voices that you heard, did you know that it was external? Or did you think that it was internal to your head?
Good question.
That's a hard question. It was kind of in between. It sounded like somebody was whispering behind you, but you knew nobody was there.
Right, but you knew it wasn't like, you know, your own thoughts of just, you know, like sometimes you'll be walking down the street and you get a song stuck in your head.
No, it was... It was almost like putting an earbud in and listening at a really low level.
So it wasn't particularly loud. Were you able to understand the human voice when it was speaking?
Yes. Yeah, you could definitely understand the audible end. When we got about a mile away, you could hear it clearly.
Wow.
So there were times when it was not clear, and you believe that was based on the distance from the transmitter?
I believe it was the distance that had an effect on it. Because when we got up close, that's when one of our seamen started bleeding. We were probably 700-800 yards out.
And so they had some kind of device. They shot it at the entire ship. Did it matter whether you were on the deck or like down levels in the ship where there would be like a large metal, you know, wall presumably between you and the signal?
The guys operating in the engine room could hear it. It was, you know, it's not a lot of armor or anything on board, but it's plenty to protect yourself from bullets.
Mm-hmm.
But you could still hear it down there in the engine room.
Wow.
Very interesting.
Yeah, that's a very, very interesting story. I've never heard anything quite like it. Now, are you, you know, obviously you're not sworn to secrecy. Were you supposed to tell us about this or what?
No, no, we didn't have to sign any kind of agreements on it or disclosures or anything like that.
Did they play it for 3 hours? You said it was 3 hours. Did you hear music or voice in your head for 3 hours straight, or was it kind of like an off and on thing where they'd test it for 10 minutes?
It was off and on because they were doing a lot of tuning and tweaking with the equipment, is what mm-hmm. we were told. Because we were talking with them over radio, standard radio, while right. they were doing this. And, I mean, I know the name of the outfit, but I'm not going to give the name of the outfit out.
Fair enough.
It's actually operating it on board.
Presumably, somebody could verify or corroborate this story. I mean, it's pretty amazing. I thank you, John, for sharing it. Was there anything else you wanted to add to it?
That was it. And thank you for what you guys are doing on the radio.
Thanks for the call tonight, dude. Drive safe. I appreciate the call tonight. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. So if you're just tuning in, he was saying that in 2002, while on a Navy ship, that they were part of some sort of technology test that lasted for a few hours where they were actually receiving in their head some kind of transmitted audio, voice and or music that they could hear in their heads. And that's just, you know, it's an amazing thing to hear. I'm interested in learning more about this technology. We have to just take people's word for it, right? Because we don't know. I mean, maybe he's making up a story, or maybe that actually happened, but it's just an amazing story if it did happen.
Yeah, very, very interesting.
Let's talk to David. He's in Virginia listening to WNIS. Hello, David.
Hello.
Hey, what's
honestly,
on your mind?
The weapon system name is Medusa. The DOD tried to develop it since the 70s. And the idea is to use microwaves to cause your bones to vibrate, and then inside your head you can hear people speaking to you. Now, if you Google it, you'll find out about it. But the thing is, they've already developed microwave beam weapons that trigger your burn response nerves in your skin.
That's right. Yep, they have those.
If they developed Medusa, I don't think the DOD would ever let us know about it. So we don't know if it's out there, but there is a track record, and everybody knows about it. You can look it up. It's called Medusa.
Yeah, I've got an article right here from Wired Magazine from 2008.
First time I heard about these were when GQ, back in September of 92 or 94, did an article on non-lethal deterrent. They referred to lasers. They referred to LVAD back then, the Brown gun, of course. But this stuff has been around for a while. It's just a matter of perfecting the technology. And it's funny, too, because while I was listening to Radio Night, I was actually going through my kit. I have a GoPack, and I was actually repackaging my dust goggles, which date back to the early 90s. And back then, they produced dust goggles for the Marine Corps that were, they had two different lenses, day and night, and they were designed to filter out Soviet laser aiming mechanisms, because the Soviets back then had started to use them to laze the eyes of our pilots and ground people. But, I mean, beam weapons have been around for a while. You just have to Google non-lethal deterrent, non-lethal energy weapon, non-lethal laser weapon, non-lethal microwave sound.
Yeah, we knew about the stuff that could burn. We'd heard about that. We knew about the sound, some of the sound tech as far as like high-pitched piercing
the LRADs and just
noise.
Sound cannons that blast sound.
But the Medusa thing saying here, it creates the sound inside your head. So this sounds like what our guy on the Navy ship there was talking about that he was
experiencing. You know, this isn't the first time. There were actually people who were contractors for the DOD, and they had access to the Norfolk base and other bases as well as contractors, and they went...
David, thank you for your call tonight. More coming up here on Free Talk.
If you had one day to teach someone economics, what would you say? We would say that innovation and prosperity requires economic freedom. Visit fee.org/courses and check out Economics in One Day, a crash course in free market economics that you can present to your community. For over 70 years, the Foundation for Economic Education has been a champion of liberty. Start today at no charge by visiting fee.org/courses and learn why economic freedom matters.
Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live, and we're launching into the second hour of this live Saturday edition of the program with you in the studio tonight. It's Ian.
And Daryl.
We've got Skype. You can Skype in here at Skype username lrn.fm. We also have our toll-free numbers, which are 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. For those of you just tuning in, we have gone into the realm of the bizarre with this story out of the Fort Lauderdale airport from yesterday with the shooter who is still alive. He was taken without incident after the incident of him shooting people to death in the airport, shooting five people to death. Sounds like maybe as many as six that were wounded in addition to that.
Last night, there were eight taken to hospitals. Today, six are still in the hospital.
One witness said that he just randomly shot people, no rhyme or reason, and then lay down face down, spread eagle, and waited for deputies to come and get him. So no shootout with the police. He just, you know, blasted through all his ammo and then just waited there quietly. According to the individual, the witness, Mr. Mark Leah, at that point, the gunman showed no remorse. He didn't say anything. He said nothing. No emotion, no nothing, about as straight-faced as you can get. And there's a detailed story here that actually is coming from the story at the New York Times, which says that he appeared at an FBI office in Anchorage back in November and made remarks, including telling them that he had his mind being controlled by a U.S. intelligence agency and that they had been telling him to go and look at ISIS videos on the internet. And so when we talked about that, you know, I said, well, you know, I don't necessarily disbelieve that the technology exists to transmit voice of some sort into one's head. How exactly that works, I don't know. But I don't know if I believe whether it was being used on him or not. And so we then heard from a guy in who was in the Navy back in 2002 who claimed that his ship was being tested on. There was like a three-hour-long test where they were receiving on-and-off transmissions from a different ship that they were hearing voice and they were hearing music in their heads, no matter where they were on the ship. Now, he didn't really know much about the technology itself, but then the next call, this is what I love about radio.
And just to point out, the guy that was on the Navy boat ship said that it sounded like someone was whispering from behind you, but you knew nobody was there. So it wasn't like, you know, just the internal thoughts in their brain were like, oh, yeah, I'm hearing something. They were actually hearing something external to their head.
Right. And so then the next call, and this is what I love about radio, is we can get feedback from different people, information from folks we don't know. We don't have the ability to just call up experts on this show, nor do we really have the time to do any kind of preparation like that. So it's always great when people call in with new information. And so this guy calls in. He says it's called Medusa, the you know, wave technology that the guy in the ship, the Navy ship, was likely experiencing was Medusa. So, of course, we went and looked it up. And here's a detailed piece from Wired Magazine. 2008 headline, the microwave scream inside your skull. Let me just jump through this so we have a little bit more about Medusa before we go to your calls.
Medusa apparently stands for Mob Excess Deterrent Using Silent Audio.
The U.S. military bankrolled early development of a non-lethal microwave weapon that creates sound inside your head. But in the end, the gadget may just be as likely to wind up in shopping malls as on battlefields, as reported in The New Scientist. The project is known as Medusa, a contrived acronym for Mob Excess Deterrent Using Silent Audio, and it should not be confused with the long-range acoustic device and similar gadgets which simply project sound. This one uses the so-called microwave auditory effect A beam of microwaves is turned into sound by the interaction with your head. Nobody else can hear it unless they are in the beam as well. The effect has long been a laboratory curiosity with no application, but over the years, the military's been intrigued. The idea, dubbed the telepathic ray gun, was mentioned in a 1998 U.S. Army study, which turned up in a recent Freedom of Information Act document dump. 5 years later, the Navy decided to put some R&D dollars into the project. Now, as I note on the New Scientist website, Dr. Lev Sadovnik of the Sierra Nevada Corporation has provided more details. There are health risks, he notes, but the biggest issue from the microwave weapon is not the radiation. It's the risk of brain damage from the high-intensity shockwave created by the microwave pulse. Clearly, much more research is needed on this effect at the sort of power levels that the doctor's proposing, but if it does prove hazardous, that doesn't mean an end to weapons research in this area. A device that delivered a lethal shockwave inside a target's skull might make an effective death ray. Dr. Sadovnik also makes the intriguing suggestion that instead of being used at high power to create an intolerable noise, it might be used at low power to produce a whisper that was too quiet to perceive consciously, but might be able to subconsciously influence someone. The directional beam could be used for targeted messages, such as in-store promotion. So this is more than just some noise-making technology. They are literally saying here that it has the capability of being heard, being able to be understood by the target or the victim or whatever you want to call that person in question.
So basically subliminal messaging.
Not even, well, no. He said that if it was quiet enough, it could be considered subliminal, but presumably there'd be a volume level between blaring loud and so quiet that you can barely hear it, that would just sound like a voice in your head. Obviously, it says here that Sadovnik even suggests subliminal advertising, beaming information that is not consciously heard, while the effectiveness of subliminal persuasion is dubious. The author says, I can see there might be some organizations interested in this capability, and if that doesn't work, you could always point the thing at birds. They seem to be highly sensitive to microwave audio, so it might be used to scare flocks away from wind farms or shoo pigeons from city streets. But it's interesting, the timeline he talks about here, there was the 1998 U.S. Army study, and then 5 years later, the Navy put R&D dollars into it, which pretty much ties into that 2002 report from our caller saying that he had this tested on him in the Navy. So if you want to share your thoughts here, the toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Is there something to the claim of the shooter in Fort Lauderdale? It's starting to sound more and more believable, Daryl.
Yeah.
And the question is, from how far of a distance can this technology be used? You know, does this guy have somebody following him around in a car, shooting him with this audio? Or, you know, at what distance is it effective? We don't know the answers to that question. Presumably, the technology has been improved since the last 15 or so years.
Right. Were they, you know, shooting this at his house?
Mm-hmm.
Were they, you know, as you said, you know, following him in a car, shooting him constantly? It's so very, very strange.
It is, and as we learn more, we'll let you know. You can join us here toll-free, 855-450-FREE. Of course, we tend to learn most of our stuff from our callers, so you should keep us in the loop. 855-450-FREE. The Skype username is lrn.fm. Thomas is in Virginia Beach, Virginia, listening to WNIS. Hey, Thomas.
Thank you, sir, for calling. Talking to you.
Yes, sir. That's what we do.
You know, I think that the topic of this guy, you know, is horrific. That, you know, anybody that could go into an airport and do such of a thing, okay, and kill people,
mm-hmm.
And it's just like anybody that could take a child off the street that's, you know, deranged and
hello.
Hurt, okay, and made as God gave them to be. It just, I'm kind of stopped here right now because I'm hurt. Okay?
It sounds like you might be hurt.
So. I'm very, very hurt over this.
Yeah, it's horrifying.
You know what I'm talking about, and this is not the subject that we were talking about, but you know. people need to understand that people are people and human beings are human beings. Okay?
And they shouldn't be treating with violence towards one another. There's no doubt about that. Thomas, thanks for
That's
the call.
Right.
Appreciate the sentiment. If expressed a little jumbledly. 855-450-FREE. There's probably no words. There's no word called jumbledly, is there, Daryl? Jumbled. Just jumbled. It's Free Talk Live. 855-450-FREE.
You can add Lee to a word to
you can join
make
us
it
here.
Another word.
More coming up. Live Saturday show. This is Free Talk Live. You dial toll-free. Take control of the airwaves. You can bring up anything you want. Our number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Maybe you've been involved in one of these creepy tests of this Medusa microwave sound transmission technology that we've just learned about here tonight. I mean, I'd always heard that there was some kind of technology for this, but I didn't know what it was called. I'd never really taken any time to look into it. But now that we actually have a confirmed shooter from the Fort Lauderdale airport who's still alive, he didn't get shot to death or kill himself after having shot several people in the Fort Lauderdale airport to death yesterday. He claimed in an interview with an FBI agent back in November in Anchorage that he was being mind controlled, that there were people from the federal government talking to him inside his brain.
Yes.
And telling him to go and watch Islamic State videos on the internet and read their materials, presumably. They interviewed him, ultimately cutting him loose, saying that it seemed like he was not totally insane, so apparently he could just, you know, be back out on the streets. And now he's committed murder. So is there something to it? Was he making that up? Is he just insane? I mean, obviously he's crazy to go and do what he did, but is he actually being influenced by members of the federal government beyond just the fact that he was a member of their military for a while and saw some action in, I think it was Afghanistan, saw some of his buddies blown up by IEDs. He was in a bomb removal group, I guess, out there where they were sweeping the streets and removing IEDs, and so he did witness the horrific explosion and, you know, ultimate demise of two of his friends. So I'm sure that did some damage to him.
Right.
But, you know, is he really being mind controlled? There's some evidence here that he could be, at least technically. It seems to be possible. Whether he was or not, of course, is impossible to prove.
Right.
Because all you can do is go on the word of a crazy person. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. By the way, coming up in February, we are just a few weeks away from this, several weeks from now, February 25th through the 28th, so maybe like a month and a half away, at the Mundo Imperial Resort and Expo in Acapulco, Mexico. It's going to be Anarcapulco, the world's foremost conference for voluntarist thinkers and activists. It's held annually. It's the third year of the event. They bring together hundreds of principled anarchists to share ideas on how to live free and escape the clutches of the state and central banks. The unparalleled lineup of speakers will be discussing entrepreneurship, investments, politics, philosophy, health, sustainability, lifestyles, and personal relationships for 4 days among the sun and beaches of a world-class resort. It's February 25th. Through the 28th. Lots of great speakers will be there. You can go to the website, anarchapulco.com. Get your tickets. Learn more about the event. Free Talk Live will be broadcasting from the event, so we'll look forward to seeing you there if you're going to be attending. anarchapulco.com. Continuing now with your calls and thoughts, we go to Dana, listening in Grand Rapids to WTKG. Hello, Dana. Hello, Dana in Grand Rapids. Going once. Dana in Grand Rapids, going twice.
Hello?
There you are. Go ahead.
Okay. I think I've seen a movie. I don't know if it was on, you know how those Turner Classic Movies, TCM has black and white movies?
Sure.
I think I might have saw one in black and white, maybe one in color, not so many years ago, how they rerun them, you know, about something like this. You know how they say, does art, you know, imitate life or vice versa? And
right.
Sometimes it goes both ways. So, but from what I understand, that subliminal message has to be sustained. Now, because the guy was in the military, and even if he's not in the military, because of the internet, people can read. I'm not saying this didn't happen to him because he was obviously messed up. There's proof that he sought psychiatric help or at least a psychologist or for depression or something. I can't remember what they said on the news, but he has sought help. And I want to interject this. I have such respect for our military, such respect. I can't believe those guys go through what they go through. Has there been some baddies, so to speak, over the years? I'm sure there has, but overwhelmingly, I can't wrap my, I wouldn't trade my place, and it's a volunteer, trade my place for theirs, and it's a volunteer, you know, draft. And so, I mean, not a draft, but
well,
a volunteer.
I gotta say, I don't respect people who follow orders blindly, and I think that's ultimately what a lot of people in the military do.
I didn't say blindly. But you know what? There's a whole different enemy out there than in the past. That being said,
who's that?
So I'm not knocking him because he's in the military.
Who's the whole different enemy? You said there's a whole different enemy. Who's that?
The ones in the Middle East.
The ones in the Middle East. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, they don't. Not that the others didn't. Well, ISIS.
ISIS.
And not that the others. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And not that, and so we don't know exactly what he experienced over there. But you know, the movies put out by those that have come back, whether it's 13 Hours or you know, any of those movies, I can't imagine. You know, those
well, obviously that you know, those movies are dramatized to quite a bit of an extent. Plenty of military experience from people we've talked to is very, very boring and dull. I remember we used to know a guy who would occasionally co-host the show with us, who was a helicopter pilot, who talked about how they had him sweeping the dirt or the, you know, like the sand off of the tarmac or whatever, over and over again, just moving dirt around, just a mind-numbingly boring task. So,
right.
You know, it seems to range from mind-numbingly boring to horrifyingly violent and mind-destroyingly violent. Thank you, Dana, for your call tonight. And, of course, plenty of them come back, and they are damaged beyond belief mentally, not just physically, but also mentally, ultimately resulting in thousands of suicides, I believe, on a yearly basis.
About 22 a day, I believe, is the statistic that I've seen
more
recently.
Of them killing themselves than dying over in the Middle East. So there are greater suicide numbers than people actually dying in combat, as I understand
yes.
it. And so then a small portion of those who are crazy enough to kill themselves or, you know, maybe not crazy is the right word, but tortured, you know, mentally tortured
yes.
enough to kill themselves, small portion of them end up lashing out at others. Now, again, whether or not this guy was actually hearing voices being transmitted to him by government agents or he was just imagining that because he's crazy, either way, it's a terrible story. And to go back to what she was saying about respecting the military, I respect the ones who refuse to follow orders that are unconstitutional and, you know, walk away. If you walk away from the military, even, you know, despite the threats that are against you, despite the possibility that you could go into the brig, be convicted of absent without leave or whatever, you know, convicted of various different UCMJ offenses.
Right.
Those are the ones that are courageous to me. They're the ones who are standing up against the military itself. They're
Private Manning. I respect Private Manning.
Absolutely. And there were a couple others over the years, over the last you know, couple decades. There was that guy from Hawaii. I forget what his name was, though. But he basically said, yeah, I'm not going to participate in the war in the Middle East. And took whatever consequences were brought to him for it. The toll-free number, 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. But just following orders, there's nothing to respect about that. This is Free Talk Live.
A funny thing happens when you don't advertise. Nothing. Modern advertisers have been trained to look for trackability in their advertising, and web search ads are great for that. They also help you get the consumer that's looking for products like yours in the moment. But they're expensive, and they do nothing to convince people to try your product segment in the first place. They help you get a bigger piece of the pie, but branding mediums like radio grow the pie itself. Free Talk Live's on more than 150 stations, and we can help advertisers with little budgets and big ones. Send me an email, mark@freetalklive.com. It's mark@freetalklive.com.
Hey, it's Free Talk Live, and you can dial in here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
And Daryl.
We do also have Skype. Skype username is lrn.fm, so feel free to reach out that way if you want. We've been talking about the shooter in the airport in Fort Lauderdale and the technology that could very well make true his claim that he was hearing voices from the federal government in his head. Sounds unbelievable, but it turns out the federal government has actually been working on this technology for quite a while, going back to this Medusa technology, which was being talked about between the late 90s and the early aughts, and presumably has only improved since
that time. Right, and then
going
back prior to that, in the 70s, there was a microwave technology that I'm guessing Medusa built off of the work in the 70s.
Right, and you were just pulling up Amazon, looking up these bone conduction headphones that I had heard about this technology. I was sort of referencing it earlier without really even knowing how to describe it. But bone conducting, meaning that they contact the back of your skull?
Most of them are right near the ear, so mm-hmm. either above or behind.
Because, I mean, there's obviously skin in the way, so it makes me wonder how effective they are. They must be good if they're being sold to the masses. You can get these things for, what, $40?
Yeah, there's wireless for $40. Now the question is, how good is the $40 pair mm-hmm. versus the $140 pair?
Yeah, I don't know.
But
I would just like to try it just to see.
Yeah.
Is it clear? Is it as clear as the ear canals?
Now, what I've done several times before is, I'll occasionally move the headphones off of my ears
right.
and set it right behind the ear, and mm-hmm. I can still hear everything because it's coming through, it's right near the ear canal. It's just not mm-hmm. going directly into the ear canal.
But it's apparently, not going to sound as crisp, right?
But apparently Beethoven actually used bone conduction because, he was that deaf composer guy.
Right.
He would bite some kind of tube or wire or something coming out of his piano
right.
so that he could hear the music.
Right. Through his teeth.
Yes. Through the bones in the jaw.
Right.
That connect right by your ear.
The toll-free number tonight, if you want to join us here with your thoughts, is 855-450-FREE. Skype username lrn.fm. MyPillow is designed to fit to the shape of your body and hold your neck in the proper position. And unlike a regular pillow, you can actually wash MyPillow and put it in the dryer. It's designed for that. And it's a great pillow. In fact, Daryl and I, we both have them. We've been using them now for a good portion of the last year, and it's fantastic. But you don't have to take my word for it. You can go to MyPillow.com, use code FTL, and you'll get your MyPillow at half price, or you can get two for the price of one. It's up to you. Use code FTL to get the discount. And if for some reason you don't think it's the best pillow you've ever used, within the first 60 days, you can send it back in, and they'll send you the purchase price back. You go to MyPillow.com, use code FTL, like Free Talk Live. And by the way, the pillow's got a warranty on it of 10 years. They really do stand behind their product over at MyPillow.com. And again, code FTL. Let's go to the phones to the fun. Rodney, listening in Virginia to WNIS. Hello, Rodney. Rodney in Virginia.
Hey, Rodney?
Hey, you're on the air, Rodney. Go ahead.
Oh, okay, thanks. Timely topic. In the 1990s, that's when I first heard of it. And it went by the name of voice-to-skull technology.
Mm-hmm.
And the story goes about an inventor. An inventor saw a problem. His problem was that his children used to like to listen to the radio, and they would drag a electric radio into the bathroom and while they brushed their teeth,
mm-hmm.
and they would be turning the radio, which was plugged into an electric socket, and the children would be walking around in the water. So he
That's
wanted
dangerous.
To find a solution to this. The inventor invented a toothbrush that ran on a battery, and it children could hear it. And I guess the upshot is that we don't hear from our eardrum. What happens is the eardrum catches the sound and feeds it to the cochlear bone.
Hmm.
And the cochlear bone vibrates and through other bones, and that's how you hear through the cochlear bone.
It's interesting. So therefore, you know, Beethoven was onto something, meaning that deaf people could probably hear again with this new technology?
Yep, that's right. And the phone is still for sale. I heard there was some store about 3 years ago still selling this battery-powered radio toothbrush.
Buy one. How about that? Hey, Rodney, thanks for sharing your thoughts tonight, man. I appreciate hearing from you. Our toll-free number, if you want to join us, is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. According to the story over at the New York Times, Mr. Santiago, that is the gunman in Fort Lauderdale, Esteban Santiago, age 26, walked into the FBI office in Anchorage, made disturbing remarks that prompted officials to urge him to seek mental health care. He appeared, quote, agitated and incoherent, and said further that his mind was being controlled by a U.S. intelligence agency, unquote, according to one of the senior law enforcement officials interviewed by the New York Times. Other officials said it was too early to tell whether Santiago, who was captured at the airport, had been inspired by terrorist groups, including the Islamic State. The officials said he had viewed extremist materials on the internet. Shortly after 1 o'clock on Friday, the suspect, who had been an airline passenger, pulled a semi-automatic handgun out of his bag and opened fire in a crowded baggage claim area. Now, according to further reports, it turned out he went into the bathroom first, loaded the gun, then returned and opened
Correct.
Fire.
Correct. That's what the one of the airport spokesmen had said. I thought we had mentioned that earlier in the show.
Yep, we did. The New York Times did not mention it here, and that's why I added it. Added it in. Senior law enforcement officials said Santiago was making disjointed statements at his FBI visit. Quote, although Santiago stated he did not wish to harm anyone as a result of his erratic behavior, interviewing agents contacted local authorities, who then took him to a medical facility for evaluation. The official said, quote, the FBI closed its assessment of Santiago after conducting database reviews, interagency checks, and interviews of his family members. And then they cleared him for release at that point, where just a couple months later, he ended up in the Fort Lauderdale airport shooting people to death, now in custody after having lied down, face down on the floor, spread eagle, according to one witness. After emptying his magazines, he lays down and just waits for the police to arrive.
Yeah, that's the strangest part to me. Is that, you know, the police were not on top of him at some point prior to him laying on the floor.
Well, I mean, certainly the police, when some of the officers will put themselves in harm's way, but others won't. It's not uncommon for you to see video. I remember Columbine was my first real kind of experience seeing this happen, where they knew there were killers in that school shooting people, but yet they were just kind of like hanging out, getting ready outside for a while before they finally went in after the killers had shot themselves to death in Columbine.
Right.
And I remember watching the video footage from the news at the time. I was working at Kmart when this was happening live on TV. I was working in the electronics department, so I saw it happening. And I remember watching the cops just standing around outside as this supposed slaughter was going on inside. So it's like, why didn't they go in as soon as they possibly could? Well, it's because officer safety is very much paramount to many of these departments, not officer sacrifice. The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. They're not as heroic, some of them, as they might want you to believe. Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live, the live Saturday edition of the program. You, of course, are invited to join us here. Our number, 855-450-FREE. Whether you want to comment on the shooting down in Fort Lauderdale or what you think's going to happen in the aftermath. We haven't really gotten into that. We've been just more talking about the shooter himself and his claims that he was hearing voices of U.S. intelligence agency or some U.S. intelligence agency's employees in his head telling him to go and watch Islamic State videos and review their materials on the internet, leading presumably to a total mental breakdown, which led him to shoot people to death in the airport in Fort Lauderdale. Been talking more about the aspect of that and some of the technology that apparently does exist via microwave devices like the Medusa technology, as we were talking earlier with one of our callers who introduced us to it. And then there's a Wired magazine story about it. So, I mean, this is not some sort of obscure thing that is only in the realm of the conspiracy theory. So that's a real thing, apparently. And you can share your thoughts with us on that. Or, again, as I said, what's coming next? You know, what are we going to hear from the people in government? Will the Trump administration be cracking down on airports, greater security apparatus?
Well, some of this could just be TSA implementing rules.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it doesn't need to be the Trump administration doing anything.
Yeah, so you can make your predictions on what's going to happen next here. Of course, you can also take control of the airwaves and bring up anything that is on your mind. In fact, speaking of Trump, I know that there's a story. I don't know if we're going to get into it tonight, but apparently we should cover this within the next couple of weeks because he's going to be inaugurated here in like 13 days. That there's apparently supposed to be some plans to disrupt the coronation, so to speak, by both anarchist groups and marijuana activists. So that I find very interesting.
Although the news article that I read just mentioned anarchists are going to disrupt, but had no mention of what they
of
were
how?
Going to do.
Well, we
or...
know that there's supposed to be thousands of people who are planning on smoking up at the inauguration. So.
There's a group that has said they're going to distribute 4,200 cannabis cigarettes.
Yeah, that's very interesting. So we can talk about anything you want to discuss. Jason is with us listening to KITZ in Washington. Hey, Jason.
Hey, how you doing?
Welcome, sir. You're on the
air. Enjoy your program.
Thank
Good
you.
Program.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to comment. Our great founders of this great nation warned us against foreign entanglements. And ever since former CIA Director George Herbert Walker Bush decided we needed to invade Iraq because Iraq had invaded Kuwait because Kuwait was slant drilling for oil, and we had to protect Kuwait. We've been having forays into the Middle East for 30 years.
Much longer than that.
It's a huge strain on our budget. We've never declared war. And I believe that we're going to continue to have blowback like this shooter in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
As long as we decide we need to go to the Middle East. I don't know what our clear foreign policy specific purposes have been, if there's ever been a consistent, clear foreign policy. It just seems to keep shifting from one reason to another. But as long as we keep pouring into the Middle East and trying to rearrange governments, I think it's shown in human history that you're going to have a response to that.
Absolutely. I mean, I think you're absolutely right that avoiding foreign entanglements. Right. I mean, you were talking about a policy. Avoiding foreign entanglement should be the policy. That was a great idea. And up until, well, of course, you know, it didn't take them long to break that idea.
Right.
But regardless, you know, presidents like Woodrow Wilson were elected on promises to keep out of war. And then, of course, he went ahead and got the U.S. into war. So people in the United States, many of them value the idea of peace. They value the idea of, you know, not getting involved in conflict, because when you pick one side or another, inevitably, whoever's on that other side is going to hate you for tipping the scales in one direction or the other. They're going to hate you for bombing their friends or killing their family. And you're absolutely right.
It's human nature.
Yeah. No doubt.
It's human nature.
Jason, any other comments?
We had a senator in Oregon for many years during the Vietnam War, and he was a Republican, and he never once would vote for funding the Vietnam War. Hmm. So there have been Republicans that have realized that war should be the very last resort.
Ron Paul, for instance.
Unfortunately, it seems we have a huge part of our economy that depends on perpetual war. So I really hope with the Trump administration that we can take a long, hard look at these kinds of expenditures and decide that we need to have a different foreign policy that doesn't require war to be a continual state.
I appreciate the optimism, Jason. Thanks for the call tonight. I tend to not have it when it comes to the federal government. But Trump did talk about a new era of peace, while at the same time, out of the other side of his mouth, talking about going after ISIS. So I'm not sure if you can have it both ways.
George W. Bush in 1999 and early 2000 talked
about nation building.
How horrible nation building was,
right.
And what's one of the first things he does? Starts nation building.
Exactly.
And as the late
Barack Obama said, he was going to shut down Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah, well, he's at least moving a lot of the detainees out of Guantanamo.
All right.
Congress has prevented him from actually closing the base because they're the ones that say this is where the money's going.
I see.
And they keep funding it. So they're saying you're not allowed to remove everybody from there. So he's removing a bunch of them.
Interesting.
But as the late Dr. Mark Allen Feldman said several times prior to the Libertarian Party presidential nominating convention, we used to have companies that would manufacture weapons to help with the war effort. Now we have a government that manufactures wars to help with the
manufacturing efforts, the military industrial complex, as it has been aptly named.
Yes.
So you can, of course, bring up anything that you want here. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. We go to David. He's in New Mexico on Skype. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, hey, first of all, a little tease for you. On your topic, I have extensive firsthand knowledge of a similar situation to this shooter guy, military shooter, mind control kind of stuff coming out of the military. But this goes back to a previous era back in the 1960s. If you want to hear it after I tell you what I called about. And first of all, so what I called about is to follow up on briefly on the end of our conversation last night. And let me start by saying I appreciate the fact that your station, unlike every talk radio station in the Albuquerque market, I appreciate that you allow callers to present verifiable facts. And I mark those words, verifiable facts. Everything that I present publicly, I try to keep my opinion out of it and state only things that I can back up with documentation that is to the standard of being legally admissible evidence in a typical court of law.
Well, so that's pretty unusual. That. Most callers just make claims, so and we'll let that happen too. You can say anything you want here on Free Talk Live, except for the F word.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But in my case, because I am building several legal cases and government complaints, I try to keep myself to that standard. That way, my entire argument and narrative is directly able or in the form to be put down. Anything I say is in the form that could be put down in a complaint, and everything can be verified that what I said is actually fact. And also, it's not even truth. It's because truth is subjective. It's fact. It can be verified from a venue where people will accept. Generally, the general population will accept that it is fact and not just someone's
All
personal
right.
truth. So anyway, the last night what we ended with was that we're talking about the judge in question and M. Monica Zamora in Albuquerque. And at the end, after you had ended the call, you discussed amongst yourselves that it's common that judges, they can't have every bit of law memorized. And so something might come before them that requires some knowledge of law that they're not up to date on. And therefore, they might have a problem with it. And I wanted to share this with you. And first of all, I say this to you from the experience of I am an airline transport pilot, retired, and I flew corporate jets and I flew for the airlines. And we utilized, as you're aware, the Federal Aviation Regulations, which is federal law, and it's written in basically legalese, mellowed out a little bit so that pilots can work with it. And let me tell you that as a pilot flying for a commercial airline, flying you and your friends around, and also flying high dollar clients in private jets, I can confidently speak for every pilot out there listening that we know basically 99.999% of the hundreds of pages of federal aviation regulations that pertain to our daily operations. And
you're saying that a judge should also know those regulations. Thanks for the call, David. It's Free Talk Live, Hour 3 coming up.
So the protection of life, liberty, and property is what the Free State Project is all about. But it's an effort to move 20,000 people who understand.
It's about demonstrating to the entire country
that, yeah, we can have a free market, a truly free market.
Making it just a freer, great place to live.
It's the world's largest voluntarist libertarian community, and it's only getting bigger.
That's amazing, to be able to move to a place where other people like passionately believe in being free and independent.
What the Free State Project is managing to do, though, is to put their money where their mouth is. It's physically getting up across the country and saying, let's go someplace and let's demonstrate the power of these ideas. There's a lot of kind of philosophy that surrounds liberty. There's a lot of thinking about it and talking about it. But here in New Hampshire, people are doing it.
101 Reasons Liberty Lives in New Hampshire, a documentary by Free State Project Early Movers. Watch it free at 101ReasonsFilm.com. 101ReasonsFilm.com.
It is Free Talk Live, and you're invited to join us here as we launch into the third hour of the program. We got plenty of time for you. Our number is 855-450-FREE. You don't have to comment about the airport shooting yesterday in Fort Lauderdale or the shooter who's claiming that he was hearing voices in his head a couple of months ago and went and talked to the FBI about it in Anchorage, Alaska, before ultimately a couple months later coming down to Florida and then opening fire on innocent people in an airport baggage handling area. So you can comment on that, but if not, you can bring up anything you want. With you in the studio tonight, you've got Ian.
And Daryl.
We're going to go to Skype, where Joel Valenzuela is on the line with us. He is from the Rights Brigade. It is a group of activists here in New Hampshire who've primarily been focusing on jury nullification activism. Joel, welcome to Free Talk Live. You're calling us from the seacoast of New Hampshire.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Yeah, sure. I know you wanted to share with our audience tonight some of the, I guess, success stories or just the overall success story of jury outreach here in New Hampshire, which is generally a topic we've covered for years. That is the idea of jury nullification. Could you, for our listeners who are maybe just tuning in for the very first time tonight, describe what jury nullification is?
So jury nullification is where a jury decides not to convict a defendant, not based on whether or not the law applies in that case, but on whether or not applying it would yield an unjust result. So usually that means victimless crimes, right? If someone's caught smoking marijuana or something like that that doesn't hurt anyone at all, a jury can say, well, this person clearly broke the law, the letter of the law, mm-hmm. but it's complete nonsense to throw them in a cage and ruin their life just over that. So we're going to go ahead and say not guilty and get them off.
It's fully legal for jurors to do this, even though they're never really told about it in most places. The courts certainly don't want to let them know about it. Every now and then, they might encounter, if you're at some random courthouse, you might encounter some jury rights outreach activist who happens to be out front handing out flyers. But it's still pretty unlikely that'll happen at most courthouses across America, unless you're in New Hampshire.
Right. And something else, you have to pay careful attention. If you are on a jury, pay very careful attention to the instructions that the judge gives you. Because at least in New Hampshire, I would say most of the jury trials that I've witnessed, the judge will say something along the lines of, if the state has proven beyond a reasonable doubt that the defendant did the thing, then you should find the defendant guilty. If there is reasonable doubt, then you must find them not guilty. Mm-hmm. And there's a big difference between should and must. Must means like, this is the thing that has to happen. Should is just a very strong encouragement mm-hmm. to vote a certain way. So even in the jury instructions, there is that hint of nuance that you have the ability to vote not guilty, even if it is proven beyond a reasonable doubt that the person did what they were accused of doing.
Now, there may be a hint of it, Daryl, but didn't you tell me that in this upcoming legislative session here in New Hampshire that there's actually a bill in place to make it much more explicit what the judge tells the jury?
Yes, and right now there's not a requirement that the jury instructions go a certain way, but generally, you know, that's something that the prosecuting attorney and the defense attorney work out. And in New Hampshire, back, I forget exactly when, there was something called the Wentworth decision that said, here's what the instructions should be, but it's not a mandate. So
what's the proposal, though?
The proposal is to mandate basically what I just said, to where it would have that should and must.
I see. So, Joelle, you've been hitting the streets with activists all across New Hampshire, basically targeting as many courthouses as possible. Luckily, it's a small state, so we only have 10 counties. So there's only, I think, 11 superior courthouses where, because there's one county that has two of them, right?
Yes, Hillsborough.
And you started this project in real high gear. I think it was, what, early 2016, late 2015?
Yes, that's about correct.
And tell me more about the project and how it's been going.
So first I noticed that there was only consistent jury outreach happening in Keene, of course, and very sporadically was it happening in Manchester, mostly because it was too early in the day and a lot of people weren't getting up and getting it done. And so I thought, why don't we experiment trying to actually run this kind of like as if it was a job, right? Mm-hmm. And this, you're supposed to show up on time and actually organize, because I have a background in grassroots organizing for political nonprofits. So through that, I managed to get 10 of the 11 courthouses reached across the whole state, although sporadically. And the missing link with that was, it's really hard to, you get activist burnout, because there's going to be a few people who are willing to go out there consistently, and then a lot of them fall away and that burden lands on the rest of them. Mm-hmm. So what I decided to do is, this year I'm raising some Bitcoin to compensate the activists for part of their time, mostly just for gas money, especially if they have to travel. And that way, that even if someone can't make a selection, then there is that incentive, that small incentive for someone else to step up and do instead. Or, for example, if an activist has to basically do the majority of the work, they get a little bit of compensation so they're not running themselves dry and running out their budget driving all over the state.
Mm. I think it's an interesting idea, and you've successfully funded, what, the first month of this?
Probably several months.
Several. Okay, great.
Yes. I mean, I only set out to fund this month, but the donation response, with very little actual effort with fundraising, has been far beyond what I imagined. And so we raised most of a Bitcoin right now, and that should cover at least 3 or 4 months. And obviously all that time in between, it was only about a couple of weeks of asking around to actually fundraise for this. So imagine what the next few months can do. I think we've got some pretty good momentum going, especially if the price of Bitcoin goes up. We might be covered for the whole year.
Right. So the idea is to incentivize the activists to go out and do this stuff. Now, it's sad that has to happen, though, right? I mean, we need more people to move here to New Hampshire, because the fact is, if you get thousands of people here, then you're going to find those killer activists that are not going to get burned out, that are going to stay dedicated to a task. I know it sucks to get up at 7 a.m. and go out in the middle of February, stand out outside of a courthouse and hand out flyers. It's certainly something that's going to whittle down the amount of potential recruits, potential activists. But I don't want any money, because I live 5 minutes away from the courthouse. But you're talking about people who are actually having to drive for a ways to get to the court, who have to put some significant time into this.
Yes, and I myself have had to drive to North Haverhill or Lancaster, each of those a 2-hour drive or more. Just to stand in front of a courthouse for about half an hour.
Yeah.
and multiple times a week. So this really sort of helps against activist burnout, because think of this. Who has time to do this kind of thing? Usually people who don't have a whole lot of other hard work obligations, right? They either work from home or they have a freelancing schedule or something like that. And,
sure.
And in my case in particular, I write, I teach, I run my own business, et cetera. And whatever work I get done is what I get paid for. So I can scale that back a little bit to fit in more activism, but that ends up cutting into my personal bottom line.
Sure.
So I thought, what if it's the same with other people? What if there's plenty of people that support this activism but have no means of actually getting out there and doing it themselves, but they have a little bit of extra money on the side?
Turns out they are out there, those people that want to get behind something financially and help encourage those people who are kind of on the fringes, who are willing to help but don't have enough money and don't have enough time, but they'd be willing to find the time if there was a few bucks involved. I think it's a good idea, and I'm glad to hear that it's working out. If you want to hang on, Joelle, we'll continue to discuss jury nullification, because there's some important differences beyond the fact that we have activists here in New Hampshire that make New Hampshire a special place to do this kind of outreach in the first place, and I'd like to talk about that with you. It's Free Talk Live. We're coming up. This is Free Talk Live. It's the Saturday edition of the program, and with you in studio tonight, it's Ian.
And Daryl.
Have you ever wanted to start up your own blog or website, but haven't yet been able to put your idea into action because maybe you're a little intimidated by the process, or you just haven't gotten around to it? Well, whatever it is, since you've been waiting, good things come to those who wait. In this case, you get 50% off of the regular prices over at HostGator by going to HostGator.com/FTL. They're one of the top hosting companies out there with a 99.99% uptime rating. HostGator makes it easy to install WordPress. It's a one-click, simple, easy installation, plus 24/7 over-the-phone or live chat tech support and a very intuitive and user-friendly control panel that puts the power of creation and the simplicity of use into your hands. You go to HostGator.com/FTL, like Free Talk Live, to get the discount of 50, that's 5-0, 50% off their regular prices at HostGator.com/FTL. We're talking with Joelle Valenzuela. He is, I believe, the creator of Rights Brigade. Is it rightsbrigade.com, Joelle? What's the website?
Precisely.
Okay, rightsbrigade.com. That's where you can go. And is the fundraiser linked to there? So listeners who might be interested in helping you raise money for more jury outreach here in New Hampshire can help you with that?
Yes, it is on the site. It is. It's a couple down on the main page, one with the big QR code.
And you're only accepting Bitcoin donations, or is there a PayPal option or other option?
The only options are cryptocurrency.
Okay. All right. Now, that's interesting that you've had such a positive response with only that option available. You would expect that, you know, having multiple options might increase the amounts you could receive.
Yes. Well, I decided to do this as an experiment, as ground up. I've been working in the conservative libertarian political nonprofit world for about 15 years now. And I used to be the head of a fundraising department for a small nonprofit in Phoenix. And I know all too well the restrictions that come with that kind of old dinosaur model of fundraising and running a nonprofit through government approval. All the restrictions. Are you a 501c3 organization? Can you only do educational? Can you do advocacy as a 501c4, et cetera, et cetera? All this kind of problem. And then you need a development department going and hitting up a bunch of rich old people for money and things like that. And it's very inefficient. So I thought I'd try something completely different from the ground up, right? Something, get rid of Federal Reserve notes completely, do it only through Bitcoin. Use it as an opportunity for people who don't have Bitcoin but want to support the cause to then get involved, get Bitcoin, see how easy it is to use, see how publicly transparent it can be for these kinds of fundraising goals, see how good you can easily do microtransactions and just send a cool tip to an activist here or there, see how easy it is to raise amounts of money for just the project you're doing, and not you don't have to have a big operating budget.
All right, fair enough. Good answer. We can go off and talk Bitcoin at another time, because I know we're all big fans of cryptocurrency here on the air at the moment. But let's focus back briefly here on jury nullification, which in New Hampshire it's different here, isn't it, Joelle? Because in other states, in a lot of cases, it's impossible or near to impossible to get the word about jury nullification into a courtroom besides handing out flyers outside. And that's what you're funding, is you're funding the handing out of flyers, which is a good way to reach potential jurors. You go on jury selection day and you hand out flyers to anybody walking into the courthouse, and you're inevitably going to hit all of the potential jurors with this information about their right to judge a case based on how they feel rather than what the facts in the case are. And so, jury nullification, powerful idea. For those outside of New Hampshire, you can learn more at FIJA.org, F-I-J-A, the Fully Informed Jury Association, FIJA.org. But here in New Hampshire, we've actually had some statutory changes that make it easier, make it actually legal for the, as I understand it, for defense attorneys and defendants to actually talk to a jury about jury nullification here. I've actually seen that happen here in New Hampshire courtrooms, and it's fully accepted by the judges here because I believe of what the legislature did back in 2012.
Yes. Now, of course, fully accepted is sort of a loose term. Technically, it should be. But realize the criminal justice system has an incentive to keep functioning, and this sort of throws a whole monkey wrench in the whole process. So,
which is why I'm surprised there hasn't been much pushback from the judges against this, because the Supreme Court of New Hampshire did to some extent gut the intention of the 2012 jury nullification law, and the legislators themselves gutted the wording. The original wording of it was much better than what it is today.
Correct.
But still, you know, when you read it, and if you go to nhjury.com, there's some information about that over there. For those that are listening that want to know more about this, you can actually look at the flyer that we're distributing. There's a copy of it over at nhjury.com, and it's got some excerpts from that law, and it cites the actual statute if you want to go and read it. But it does encourage people to be able to use jury nullification in New Hampshire. You combine the fact that we've got a legislature that seems to be friendly towards jury nullification with the fact that you've got activists in the streets, out in front of courthouses, with Rights Brigade that are handing out these flyers, and you've got an unprecedented, unmatched level of jury nullification outreach and effectiveness here in New Hampshire. Would you agree?
Yes, I would absolutely agree. I mean, just crunch the numbers anywhere else. What percent of jurors in any other state, in any other area of the country, what percent of jurors have even the vaguest idea that they have the right to nullify? In New Hampshire, in 2017, the answer to that is 100%.
Or darn close to it. I mean, not every juror will accept a flyer, but generally it's 90-95% of potential jurors who walk into the courthouse, in my experience, that will take whatever flyer.
It could be even higher than that. It's close to the high 90s.
Yeah, that's what I say. So on a bad day, it'll be 90%. 95% is more typical. And that's compared to my experience down in Florida, where it was 45%. I was doing this, a long time ago, and the people down there just aren't interested at all. And they jump to conclusions about you as to why you're outside of the courthouse and that you want to try to get them out of jury duty. And they just jump to all kinds of conclusions and they just ignore you. Here in New Hampshire, people are just more friendly. They're more open-minded. They're more interested in learning from their neighbors.
Now, it does help that we actually have a jury rights activist serving on the House Judiciary Committee.
Who's that, Mike Sylvia?
Yes.
Excellent. And we're going to be looking forward to seeing what happens in the legislative session this year. How many jury nullification, jury rights bills have you spotted so far, Daryl? I know you've been poring over the hundreds of pieces of legislation so far.
Give me one second, because I actually have a list of
I just figured
everything
off the top of your head.
Well, I don't remember off the top of my head.
More than one?
More than one, okay. I'm fairly certain. I've got 311 different bills that I've marked as targeted.
Okay.
So let me just do a search for the word jury,
Joelle,
on here.
Any other thoughts you want to share here tonight while we've got you on?
Yes. The real story success here is not so much jury nullification itself, but on how possible it is to organize a bunch of energized activists. You know, they say that organizing libertarians is like herding cats.
Oh, yeah.
and cats tend to be nocturnal and not liking to take orders. And yet here we are on Monday, six different locations simultaneously around the state, in the middle of January, going to stand outside for half an hour in the morning and hand out jury flyers.
Yep, I'll be out there. I'll be at one of them. Joel, thanks for coming on Free Talk Live. Feel free to call in with any updates on this.
And I'm seeing at least four bills related to juries.
All right, rightsbrigade.com. That's where you get more of Joel. And thanks for the call tonight, dude. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
As we continue here, more Free Talk Live. Your calls. Open phones coming up on the air.
DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronics, photo, cell phone, office products, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supplies, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more.
It's a department store at your fingertips. Shop.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done, get a great deal, and a portion of your purchase goes to benefit Free Talk Live when you enter Amazon via shop.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live, and you can dial toll-free, take control of the airwaves, bring up anything you want here on this live Saturday edition. The number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Ian with you tonight.
And Daryl.
Also, you can do your online shopping and help Free Talk Live by going to shop.freetalklive.com. You start there. You'll find links to Amazon and some other stores. You go to the Amazon links. There's Amazon UK, Canada, US. Go to the right Amazon for you. Get your shopping done. Free Talk Live gets a cut of the sale. It's the same great prices that you were thinking about, that you were going to buy from Amazon. Same prices as you're used to. It's just that Free Talk Live gets a cut when you start your shopping through shop.freetalklive.com. Before we go back to your calls and thoughts, Daryl, you did have an additional, I guess, correction or addition to make about the discussion we were having about the legislation that's going to be coming up here, pro-jury nullification.
Correct.
This year in New Hampshire.
Right. So I remembered two lines of the jury instruction, and there was a third and fourth that I had forgotten.
You're talking about of the proposed change.
Correct.
Okay.
So the proposal would require, or actually at the request of the defendant or the defendant's attorney, the court shall instruct the jury. So
the court
would not
shall.
Just...
On right. request, the court then must.
Right. So it doesn't say, here's the instructions for right. everything, but... If the defendant requests, then here's what the instructions must be.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a reasonable doubt as to whether the state has proved any one or more of the elements of the crime charged, you must find the defendant not guilty. However, if you find that the state has proved all elements of the offense charged beyond a reasonable doubt, you should find the defendant guilty. And here's the lines I forgot.
This is what I was thinking of. This
even if you find that the state has proved all of the elements of the offense charged beyond a reasonable doubt, you may still find that based upon the facts of the case, a guilty verdict will yield an unjust result, and you may find the defendant not guilty.
Yeah, dude, that would be so awesome if that passes.
It would, and vocal inflection has a lot to do with the way people interpret things that are said.
Sure.
So, a judge could read this in such a way to where he really, puts the inflection on, here's how you find them guilty, and then
sure,
just monotone the rest of it.
We've seen judges do that stuff, but either way, it's better, clearer jury instructions than I've ever heard. Let's go to your calls and thoughts here. We've got Jim. He's in Sheridan, Arkansas. Jim, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hi, guys. This is about the voice-to-skull technology.
Yes, sir.
I've had 30 years underneath this stuff. I've learned quite a lot about it just through trial and error and trying to stay alive. You guys are missing some of the points on this. They can put a screech through that while you're sleeping, and you'll never go into REM sleep.
Mm.
In other words, you'll walk around like a zombie after a while because the moment your eyes start to flitter, and you start to go under REM, they can bring it right out of it.
Hmm.
And they can stop your heart with this stuff from a block away.
Wow.
This is a new technology. Lead helps a lot to block it.
Okay.
One of the best things I found was a bug zapper that you put a spark plug with it so that it sparks constantly. But the thing is, you got to keep it like a foot over your bed. So if they can't see you, they can't hit you. And this is all over the United States. I drove tractor trailer cross country, and there wasn't a night for a decade that I wasn't attacked. This stuff is embedded in our society.
You and believe that you've been a victim of the voice-to-skull technology?
I've been run out of four houses. They caused the breakup of my marriage. I mean, what are you going to do?
But why? What's the reason for this? Why are they targeting you? I mean, with the guy in Fort Lauderdale, presumably they were targeting him, if they were, to turn him into a killer. But what's their goal with you? Break you up with your wife? That doesn't make sense. Why would the federal government waste their time with that?
Well, not the federal government necessarily. These are drug runners. These are organized crime. This is criminals. This is gangs have this stuff in the country.
Were you running drugs and competing with a mafia or something? Like, why would they target you?
Because I moved into one of their areas over in Royal Palm Beach, Florida, near Pratt Whitney. And that place is a drug haven for drug runners. Mm-hmm. And I'm a Christian. And if you're a Christian and you move into a street where these people are at, they will soak you with this stuff to push you out.
Well,
they
shout me. It is a new claim. I've never
Hold
heard
on, they shot you
with the
Yeah, well, it's what it's like. Some of it is like a fire hose, and some of it's like a cannon. It just depends on the intensity they want to hit you with. And the closer they get, the more power they can put to it.
I mean, really? I find this to be pretty unbelievable, the idea that a drug dealer wants to run a Christian out of his neighborhood. I mean, usually those people just keep to themselves and sell their drugs. Like, why would they do that?
Maybe I go to the wrong church. Maybe we have a technology that's being brought in by people like the Islamics. I don't know. One thing, nobody's being protected from it. It's like you try to tell the authorities and they want to put a butterfly net on you.
It sounds pretty crazy, Jim. I thank you for the call tonight. Wow. Don't know if I buy that story. Let's talk to Scott, listening in Indiana to WIBC. Hello, Scott.
Well, Ian, I promise I'm not going to send any black helicopters swooping down over the station right now. That was so odd that it kind of threw me off my main point. Yeah, no kidding. I can hear Rod Serling's voice now. I was going to bring up your thoughts, and I was going to voice my opinion and ask you what yours was on it after I said mine. That way I won't at least get distracted by what I wanted to say.
Sure.
About this incident that had gotten some widespread coverage before the shooting in Chicago, where you had the four racist individuals. I mean, they were clearly racist.
Mm.
And
the torture incident.
This poor mentally ill man, and the news media reported it somewhat, but in the fine print, the depth of the depravity of this is even worse, because they said, oh, they tortured him for 30 minutes. Well, actually, no, they did not. They took him captive between 48 and 24 hours and tortured him that time. Only 30 minutes of that they broadcast on the YouTube. That's the first thing that shows the depravity of it. The second thing is they didn't just let him go. The only reason that he escaped from there is because they got distracted by a neighbor and he ran out of the building and got away. So they didn't even let him go. So heaven only knows what they would have done if he hadn't escaped. It probably would have looked like some of these ISIS videos. But my thoughts on it were, you know, they had an interview on CNN with this Bernie Sanders spokeswoman, a really odious woman by the name of Simone Sanders. If you've seen the clip, and she was, this wasn't a hate crime. You know, it's just impossible for it to be a hate crime. And I say, well, you're right. There shouldn't be such thing as a hate crime.
Right.
That's the kind of crime that only George Orwell could have countenanced, because it was called thought crime. Because what that requires you to do is to get inside the head of somebody who commits a crime and discern what they were really thinking, and then say, oh, that's an aggravating factor, meaning a factor that would incur additional penalty because they had a bad thought in their head and they said a bad thing when they did it. But what this really amounts to is when they first brought up this hate crimes legislation years ago, conservatives like me said, no, that's a bad idea, because what will happen is it will, A, be a thought crime, and B, it will be selectively applied. So only special people, you know, black people, only, and other groups, they'll be the only ones who can possibly, you know, be considered the victims, and only certain other people can be considered the perpetrators, punished under it. And I think that far from charging these people with a hate crime, they should take this the opportunity to do away with them altogether and say, no, what they did is horrendous. We should punish the crime. We should punish, you know, the nature of the violence of the crime. We should not try to get into their heads because these are odious people.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They don't have any thoughts in their head worth discerning, and we should just do away with it.
Good for
it.
You.
That's just my thought on it.
Yeah,
that's
good. Good for you for sticking to your principle on that one, because I have seen on social media, and I heard from somebody last night who's, you know, part of the so-called alt-right, who would have said those things about hate crimes a decade ago, who are now saying this is a hate crime and charge them with a hate crime, and they've, you know, now they're embracing the hate crime legislation. So good for you for staying principled and true to your position on the issue.
Yeah, and in a lot of cases they'll just apply the hate crime label because the victim belonged to one of these classes, not because they were targeted for belonging.
Scott, thanks for your call. Toll free number 855-450-FREE. It's Free Talk Live. Moments remain here. We got enough time for you. If you join us right now, our number is 855-450-FREE. With you in studio, it's Ian.
And Daryl.
We do have Skype. Our Skype username is lrn.fm. And if you heard us talking with Joel Valenzuela earlier in the hour and you're excited about what's happening here in New Hampshire, if you're a libertarian, if you're a voluntarist, if you're a liberty-loving anarchist, you really ought to be up here in New Hampshire with the largest community of liberty-loving people and activists known anywhere in the entire world. It's incredible to be here. You can go to 101reasonsfilm.com and check out the 101 Reasons Why Liberty Lives in New Hampshire. It's a great little hour-long documentary that focuses on some of the just already great reasons why New Hampshire is probably the freest place on earth in a lot of ways, and certainly the freest of the 50 states, and why it's only going to even get better as many more liberty-minded folks move here and get active. We need more people. We need thousands more to come up here. We're still in the very beginning, even though we're a decade in to people migrating here. We're still in the very early stages of this movement. So come on up, join the fun. Go to 101reasonsfilm.com to learn more about it. Check out the Shire Society at shiresociety.com. And if you like what we're doing on Free Talk Live, get behind the show as a Free Talk Live amplifier at amp.freetalklive.com. It's $5 a month, so it's a way to get behind our efforts and support the ideas of liberty, getting into more people's ears all around the globe, across the United States via broadcast radio. We're bringing on brand new radio stations here tonight. We'll be welcoming them next week. Always like to just make sure that everything went okay with their first broadcast before we say hello
yes.
to those audiences. And a lot of those new stations are brought on thanks to listeners like you amping the show. Please go to amp.freetalklive.com. Please don't think somebody else is going to do it for you. We actually had a couple of people drop off of AMP because, you know, it's the end of the year. People are reassessing their finances. One guy said he's having a tough time financially, so he has to go. So if you could step up and amp the show, if you like what we do, it's $5 a month and you get perks like access to the AMP-only call-in lines, the AMP-only podcast, the AMP-only Facebook group. It's AMP, A-M-P, amp.freetalklive.com as we go to your calls. And your thoughts. Let's talk first to Carter, listening to WIBC in Indiana. Hey, Carter.
Hi. First of all, I want to say thanks for having me on the show.
Sure, dude. That's no problem. Go ahead.
I was kind of wanting to talk about what the last guy was talking about, but I more wanted to ask why you thought the police chief, when he gave his remarks on the autistic kid who was tortured in Chicago, why he didn't immediately say it was a hate crime. Because to me, in my head, when I saw that video, I mean, there was instantly pointed to me that it was a hate crime. I wanted to know maybe from a professional standpoint of why he would have said that, maybe like public opinion or something like that.
I have not listened to the police chief's comment, so I can't comment on something that I've not heard. I've also intentionally not watched the video. Like, there's enough disturbing stuff. I don't need to watch a video of somebody
of
being tortured.
Yeah, I've seen enough ISIS videos, and I'm pretty sick of seeing the violence. I did hear about what you're saying, secondhand. I heard somebody mentioning that, and, you know, it's politics. He's probably playing politics, would be my guess. There are certain people that he's looking to appease. and for some reason he believes this will appease them. Although I agree with our last caller, there should be no such thing as a hate crime, and I think that this is as important of a time as any to remind people about that when this happens, where you know that a lot of people are pointing out here, well, this time it was black people attacking a white person. Well, I don't care who's attacking who. It's the violence that's the problem.
Correct.
It's violent people that are the problem. It's these inhumane individuals that are the problem. It's not, you know, it has nothing to do with the color of their skin. If that's what motivated them, then that's their motivation. But ultimately, the crime is the same as any other crime where somebody gets tortured and or beaten or raped or whatever it is that we're talking about. Carter, any other thoughts you want to share?
Yeah, I totally agree. I don't really think it should have anything to do with race. My main thing was just that, when I watched it, but I didn't really want to watch it.
Sure.
I have watched some ISIS videos before, and you're totally right. It gave me the same feeling. It just felt sick. You know, it's just a sick feeling in your stomach, and you really just kind of start to hate the guys who are doing it. You know, just the fact that people would go this far to prove a point about, you know, Donald Trump, to me is just ridiculous.
And what was the point they were trying to prove exactly? That they don't like Donald Trump, so they're going to torture a guy who's, you know, has nothing to do with Donald Trump? I mean, it's just crazy.
Exactly. I mean, it's stupid to me. I think they were really just trying to take it out on white people in general, which, again, I don't really think it should have to do with race. I think anybody who does this to anybody is just evil. But,
Carter,
but yeah, I think
thanks.
You guys definitely nailed it.
Thanks for the call tonight, man. I appreciate hearing from you. Dee Dee is on the line in Mobile listening to WAVH-FM. Hello, Dee Dee.
Hello.
Hey.
I hope you're staying warm.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Cold in Mobile.
Yeah, I heard you guys are getting some snow down in Birmingham, at least.
Yeah, I'm south of Birmingham.
I know.
And some of the roads are iced over.
All right, look out. Stay home. Go ahead with your thoughts.
I am calling concerned the Fort Lauderdale mm-hmm. Shooting. What's striking me is we're hearing that he got psychiatric services and he was deemed not mentally ill. Well, did he receive those services from the Veterans Administration? They're not saying who he got it from. And what they're not saying is more telling to me than if they said it. This is, as far as I'm concerned, he's ex-military. More than likely, my money's on he got VA services. And this is an indictment against our broken down, negligent Veterans Administration, period.
So you're saying the VA may have doped him up with some pharmaceuticals that could have led him to be even more insane.
I have a daughter that went to Iraq twice, and she was in war zones the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
When she came back with PS, you know, the post-traumatic stress, they wanted her to take psychotropic drugs. She told them no. She'll deal with it. So, yes, that is. She said that she's not going to be all drugged out. And but she was strong enough to walk away.
Good.
From their answer, easy answer and prescription. But if he got if the Veterans Administration served him, then they did not serve him well. And that's the question that should be asked.
That's a good question, Dee Dee. Thank you for calling.
And it is, politically, I could see where it would be a hot potato.
Yep.
That they definitely don't want that to come out.
Yep. Thank you for sharing that thought here tonight. And it
Thank
does,
you
yep.
so much for what you do.
Thanks, Dee Dee. I appreciate your call. It comes back around to a discussion that we were having earlier about this shooter in Fort Lauderdale.
Right.
The toll-free number, if you want to join us here, 855-450-FREE. This crazed shooter who has apparently killed at least 5 people and wounded 6 more, was he on psychotropic prescription medications? These are, you know, questions that a lot of people are going to be asking. And as Dee Dee pointed out, if he was on them, then who prescribed them to him? Was it the VA? I think that's a very important question to also be answered.
Yeah, and that is interesting that none of the news articles specify where he went for the psychological evaluation
after
telling the FBI, the U.S. intelligence agencies are, you know, controlling my mind.
Right. You could jump to a conclusion that it was the FBI who conducted that experiment, but it may not have been. and we don't
know. No, I think the article did say that they sent him to a local hospital, but it didn't specify if it was a VA hospital or something else. And, you know, that could be because of HIPAA. Mm-hmm. It could be because of, you know, something else. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
So we've got time for you. Let's get Sarah on the line here in Albuquerque. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Sarah. Sarah, you're on the air.
Yes, thanks for taking me call. I just wanted to mention about the two subway train lines that they just put in Manhattan. And, you know, I just, I'm excited that I support the trains. The more trains, the better, and the less air pollution. And, you know, I think it's supposed to reduce congestions. So, you know, where's that train sound? You got that little train hoot for me?
She's calling for sound effects now. Our producer, Sarah, in Albuquerque. You know, good call, Sarah. Unfortunately, I didn't have the sound effects panel pulled up here. But, yeah, interesting. I didn't realize. She's right. A lot of times, thanks for the call. A lot of times, Sarah's misinformed. But in this case, she is correct. They've done built a new subway, Daryl. I figured they had subways all over the city of Manhattan and New York City, but apparently...
I thought she was talking about Albuquerque.
No, dude. No, she said Manhattan. Headline from the New York Times. January 1st, 2017, after taking nearly a century to build, the Second Avenue subway extension in Manhattan opened on Sunday. So it's a real true story.
Alrighty then.
How about that? All right, so by the way, the subways in New York City used to be private a long time ago. In fact, they were originally built privately, as I understand it, and then taken over by the government.
Thanks, so, Obama.
Yeah, we'll see you tomorrow night online in the meantime, freetalklive.com. And, of course, you can join us for the live Sunday show tomorrow.
I've been told no in many different ways.
I give you an order, and you're going to obey it.
Well, George, you can go this way.
You can do that, and you have to leave here.
You cannot bring signs into the rally.
Walk with me.
Well, I'm
comfortable
here,
actually.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Hey,
who do you think you are?
Excuse me.
There is no video or audio allowed in this office.
No, I have work today. This is...
You ain't gonna make...
Wait,
now.
Wait a minute.
Hey! Oh my God! Unbelievable!
Why are you running?
Because you're scared of
property.
What am I being detained for?
You're being served.
What is this?
You're being served.
What is this?
Bureaucrats have a funny way of telling people no.
That's the sound of the men working on the chain.
Derek Jay's Victimless Crime Spree. You can order your copy of the Director's Cut DVD now at victimlesscrimespree.com.